Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. And I am deeply grateful to be with you on this February 1st day, 2020. We're going to look at discipline. Remember when your father gets home? Did you ever hear that? You're going to get, you know, we always think of discipline as punishment. And I'm going to hopefully be able to take you into another realm, another way of understanding what it means to have discipline, something that most people avoid. Basically, because we live in a free country. We can do whatever we want. You listen to this all day long. None of it's true, but it's the illusion and delusion that people like. I want to thank my sponsors, every one of you who listen to this radio program, who make this possible. It is only through your gifts, your tax-deductible gifts, that I'm able to be here on radio and share all of this with you. I deeply, deeply am grateful and humbled by your kindness. And I want to thank those of you who have become new sponsors to help us as well. And if you're not a sponsor, I hope you will be one and become one. This is the only way this radio program and the TV programs that you see on the website at aspire.org can be there. It's only through your tax-deductible gifts. So if you're not a sponsor and you're kind of interested in being one, or have considered it and just didn't do it or whatever, go to the website at aspire.org, aspire.org, and you will see support. You can click on that. There's a menu that comes down. It says, why support Aspire? It will tell you all about your very precious gifts and what they mean to not only me, you, and people who listen to this program, but to people at hospice and children in my BATMO project that we help. There are so many things that your gift can do to serve humankind. And to me, that's what it's all about. Discipline. What is discipline? Let's get into it. Most people think of discipline as something they have to do, something that is regulated by some authority figure that you have to do. If you don't do it, you know, terrible things are going to happen. There are consequences. But I look at discipline differently in the spiritual realm. And I'm going to say some things in this radio program that might turn you off, but nonetheless and less than none, that is the Aspire message. So there is absolutely no way, absolutely no way to awaken without discipline. And to have discipline, you and I must have a vision. We have to have that ability to step back and watch and see what is going on in us, the relationship we have with our body, the relationship we have with our mind, the relationship we have with our emotions, to see all of these things for what they are and not allow them to be interlopers to our practice and what we have achieved on the inside or are achieving. And most people aren't achieving anything, so they don't really think in terms of what discipline's all about. They don't even care. They just let their mind wander all over the prairie and let it think all the thoughts it can think and conjure up all of the craziness that a human mind can conjure up. And ta-da, there you are. So we're going to look at all sorts of angles of this, and I hope this program helps you very much. First question comes from Roy. He does not tell me where he lives. I hate discipline, he says. Do I have to have it in order to be happy and become spiritual? Be happy and become spiritual. Roy, you are deeply spiritual, whether you know it or not. And happy, well, I'm going to replace that word with joyous. And there is a great joy that lives in you and all of us, as it were. And if you practice this well, if you live in it well, it will serve you well. So let's get into it. You hate discipline. Why? I wish you were sitting here. I'd interview you. Most people don't like to be told what they have to do. It is an amazing thing. They just don't like to be told, look, if you do this, this is going to happen. If you do that, that's going to be a something that can happen, some kind of painful thing that might happen. A circumstance might, if you smoke, you could get sick, okay? That kind of thing. There are all sorts of difficulties that we make for ourselves. They're not made for us via, you know, the fates or God or the devil or whatever you want to believe. They're there because we did it to ourselves. There are repercussions for everything we do. There is an exact act that reciprocates my acts, my inner acts, my outer acts. And these things build up and build up and build up until they manifest in my life, in my body, in my mind, in my emotions. And before you know it, I'm in the whole ebb and flow of karma, and I don't even know it. I don't care. I don't deal with it. So discipline is this. Now, here's how I would define it, Roy, and I hope this helps you. It is simply not doing those things that hurt you. I don't do the things that hurt me. What would hurt me? Being unkind to you. Being snippy with you. Thinking I'm helping you, but really being annoyed at your inability maybe to do something the way I would want you to do it. There is a big one in most people's lives that you have to have the discipline not to do that, to let people find out on their own or to do it their way unless they ask for help. Now, when they ask for help, then that's a different thing, totally different. So when you're thinking in terms of discipline, just in this little example, it's just one example of many, then you would be very tolerant of people. That's a discipline. Mercy, becoming merciful, is one of the most important attributes of spiritual awakening that there can be, to have mercy, to know that you could do something to retaliate against someone, to really hurt them, but you don't do it. You don't do it because you understand down the line it would hurt them deeply, and on the other end, hurt me or you, if we did it, deeply. So in letting it go, forgiving it, having mercy, we don't step in the way of other people's lives for the sake of vengeance and pride. You just don't do it. But we have to be inclusive of everything and allow people to be clumsy, to allow them to be stupid, which the majority of our populace is stupid, to allow people to make mistakes. And when they ask, to help them, and when they don't ask, to step back and don't do anything until asked. Now, when you understand all of this and you get into the ebb and flow of it, then you understand discipline. Do you have to have it? Well, you asked me that. If you want to awaken, if you truly want to change the world, or you can't change the world, but change whatever is your world, you're going to have to be very tolerant and kind. And that requires discipline. So rather than living out of retaliation, you live in renunciation. You listen to that still small voice within you. And you step back and step back and step back. And you let everything have its course with people. And if you do that, if you can do that, if you believe in that, if you can sustain balance in allowing people to be the way they are without criticizing, without condoning, without doing either, no yay, no nay, nati nati, neither this, neither that, then your mind will drop a little bit. You'll find that the quality of your thoughts will change, and you will no longer be looking for the idea or the ideal that you are right, they are wrong, you are good, they are bad. You won't be looking at it from that point of view. So you say, Roy, you hate discipline. You know, people, and I want you to hear this, Roy. There are conditions to everything. Nothing is unconditional. Nothing. People say there's unconditional love. That is not true at all. There are conditions to being unconditional. There are certain things I must practice within myself to find the love that is so inclusive, that is absolute, that is authentic. And if I practice those things, then these silly little behaviors that we have in our genetics no longer mean anything to us, and we start to rise above our own ignorance, our own stupidity, our own fear, our own anger. There you are. So don't hate discipline. Think of it this way. It's the ability you have to not do those things that hurt you. That's the whole key. Don't do those things that hurt you. Very, very important. I hope that helps you, Roy. Please forgive me. Namaste. The next one. This one didn't want me to use their name at all. Just not. Okay? So I didn't. Can a person's karma be overcome through disciplines of meditation? Karma is not to be overcome. You must understand that. To think that you have a karma that is not desirable may be true to you, but that just simply means that you and I don't understand the nature of that karma very well, because we're too busy judging and being analytical and trying to judge what we think is our karma via our own prejudice and mental constraints or mental acuity, the whole thing. It just means we have issues. So here's the deal. Meditation helps me understand my karma. It helps me fulfill it. It helps me align with it. The only reason you and I like to think that karma is not such a good thing is because we think in terms of karma as the things that happen to us that are undesirable. And that's just not the way. That's not what it's all about. Not even remotely is that what it's all about. So it doesn't work that way. I want to think it does, because that's the way my primitive pedestrian mentality works. But to be honest with you, our karma is showing us that which is and that which ain't. It's showing us what to do here, what not to do there. It is showing us how things work and how they won't work. The karma is a way of showing me the modality of why I came into this world, how my modality works, and if it bumps up against other modalities in this world, not being cohesive enough to be in love. True love, authentic love, not human love. So you ask, can a person's karma be overcome through the disciplines of meditation? Meditation is a discipline. Meditation is that which lives within me, where I am no longer depending upon my mind to supply answers to questions that don't really matter. Meditation is moving into the vastness of the all. In fact, it is the all. If I get caught up in the ideas and ideals of what I think my life is all about based on the premise of my mentality filled with genetic dispositions and fear of my DNA and dying and the ruthlessness of my survival, then I'm going to miss. It is a very good question that you ask. What is it that makes meditation difficult? Personal preferences. Where did I get these? From my genetic heritage. Why do I have these preferences and this heritage, and why is my life a matter of condition, situations? We're always battling one condition over another, one situation over another. Because I refuse to understand the nature of my life. I refuse to understand the nature of my heart. I refuse to understand love. I refuse to see the bigger picture of what my body is all about, my mind is all about, because I've allowed my mind to wander the prairies of my Greg Penn genetics, looking for something that will make him happy or give him safety or give him what he wants or whatever. That's why. And it's a very difficult thing to understand with most people. Mr. Anonymous or Miss Anonymous, whatever you are, this is a very important point for you to understand. You want to blend with your karma. You want to see what it is trying to lead you to, what it's trying to share with you, what it is trying to open your life up to. You don't want to look at it as though it is the enemy. It is not your enemy unless you want to make it your enemy. Now, if you want to do that, fine and dandy. But to look at it from the point of view that it is your enemy, and that through some kind of meditation and discipline in meditation where you overcome your karma is a fallacy and a true waste of your time, because it won't happen that way. I guarantee it. It will happen when you embrace your karma and in meditation remove your cynical, analytical mind, no longer seeking to serve your body's need for survival, and truly, truly let go of the need for control. When that occurs, you will find you will understand immediately, if not sooner, your karma. You will absolutely see it, recognize it, understand it, be grateful for it, and then be able to cohesively bring that into acceptance within you and allow it to have its way with you. This is a very beautiful thing to do. And most people refuse to do it. They don't want to do it. They don't think about doing it. They think in terms of vengeance and pride and vanity, and we bring all that stuff in from our human body and genetics, and we miss the meaning of meditation and the beauty of karma. It just is the way it is. What can I say? It's a great question. And whomever you are, please forgive me. Namaste. The last question comes from Tom, and he lives in San Diego. And he talks about the TV programs and everything. And Tom, I want to thank you for your kind words. Greg, what is the difference between being rigid and being disciplined, Tom? This is a very good question, and you can only answer it from within yourself. I am a very disciplined person, but my students see it as rigid. I go to bed at a certain time that is unacceptable to most people, 6 o'clock. I get up at a time that most people find unacceptable, 2, 2:30. I meditate. I do my journaling. I do my work right now and making this radio program for you. It's 3:28 in the a.m. on a Monday. There you are. Why do I do this? Because my mind and body don't like it. My mind and body want comfort, and they want sleep, and they want all sorts of things. But I find going against my mind and my body, there is a certain charisma that starts to arise within me, this certain attractiveness to love. The collective unconscious is down a little bit. My students are asleep, and that's good because they're not calling me day and night with things that they think are important. I'm able to do work unabashed, undisturbed. People think of that as rigid. It isn't. I won't do certain things. I won't eat meat. I won't do the things that some people would consider normal. I don't take stands right or left, up or down. I'm amazed and amused at politics because it's the theater of stupidity. And I use that as a way of talking to people. I like to see what they're made of inside and the stances they take. And all of this stuff I watch and listen to. Discipline is just not doing those things that hurt me. Rigidity is being confined to what I think is right and wrong, good and bad. Then morals come into play. Then all sorts of difficulties start to happen. And I miss the meaning of the significance of my life. I do not allow my mind to wander into Gregville either. If you wander into your human part of you, the human genetic part of yourself, you're going to find a treasure trove of stupidity and assumptions and fears and states of anger you never knew existed. And if you did, that you probably took pride in. So I just don't go there. And it is tempting to go there. It really is to build my life. I have to use Greg to express things in this world, and that too is a discipline. How far do I go with that? Well, until Greg gets to the point where he's so full of himself that he thinks he's being smart or clever or witty or right. I never go into right. You should never go into right. And there's the difference. Discipline is realizing that rightness is self-defeating. Discipline is not doing that. It's the old Henny Youngman joke. Doc, it hurts when I do that. Then just don't do that. It is good to be disciplined, but you don't want to be rigid. And if you become rigid, you will miss the discipline. I hope that helped you. I really do. Thank you for your beautiful question. I'm out of here. Namaste. Well, there we are. Got more for you tomorrow. I hope you'll join me. Thank you for listening. Please forgive me. Namaste.